Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Programme for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our programme is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program. Today, I would like to read an article from May 1997, an issue of Share International magazine, followed by another article by Benjamin Krem's master. We believe both articles provide a message of hope. The first is titled Ancient Prophecies for Modern Times, and it's by Betty Stockbauer. Although history has depicted native cultures as primitive and sometimes barbaric, in our own day a much richer picture is emerging. French author Pierre Honoré minutely examined the original journals of the conquerors. There he found records of what they encountered in the New World, huge cities with urban populations, well-versed in the arts and sciences, following finely ordered systems of law. Archaeological excavations of modern times have verified these accounts, unearthing sophisticated cities and pyramids that rival those of Egypt. Most importantly, the native peoples themselves are stepping forward, revealing traditions and sacred knowledge they took underground 500 years ago when the conquerors came. They speak now because they understand the import of the present times. Their sacred sciences tell them the world is at a turning point, that its choices today will determine the future course of civilization. Their prophecies have instructed them to travel out into the world and tell us of the dangers we face. These voices are important for us to hear because they speak from hearts that have tried to remain true to their sacred teachings, to live in the way of brotherhood and simplicity, establishing harmony with one another and with all living things. This is what they say. We are entering a time of purification and can expect to witness chaos and destruction in all the kingdoms of nature. It is a time for the reuniting of the races. Barriers of religion and nationality will begin to fall as all people realize their essential unity. We must heal the damage done to Mother Earth, the source of life, and recognize that all living things are endowed with spirit. In the coming times, we will see the return of one or more great teachers who will guide us into the future. In his book titled The Return of the Pahana, Robert Boissière discusses the widely held belief among native peoples in the imminent return of a savior figure and claims that it in no way differs from the Christian belief in a second coming. In the legendary history of many tribes, there is a story of a teacher similar to Jesus who taught the spiritual mysteries and an ethical way of life. When he left, they say, he promised to return at a time when the earth would be in great turmoil to guide humanity into the future. He is best known by the names of Quetzalcoatl and Kukulkan. Thomas Benyasaya has travelled the world for almost 50 years, speaking about the prophecies of his tribe, the Hopi. For centuries, the Hopi have lived in one of the harshest environments of the US, perched on a desert mesa in Arizona. Their ancestors chose such a place to settle because they knew it would keep their people close to the Creator. They continually reaffirmed their reliance on God by an annual series of rituals asking the spirits to supply their every need. In 1948, a group of Hopi elders accepted the task of warning the world of the events that the Hopi prophecies foretold. The prophecies themselves instructed them to approach the United Nations. It took 44 years of effort, but in 1992, they were finally permitted to address the General Assembly, as reported in Share International magazine in the December 1993 issue. This beginning led to another gathering at the UN in 1993 called the Cry of the Earth Conference, when leaders from seven nations released their prophecies. Hopi prophecies speak of the return of Pahana, their true white brother, who left them in ancient times promising to return. They wear their hair in bangs to form a window, they say, by which to see their older brother when he returns. It is also an identifying mark for the elder brother to recognize them. Black Elk and Crazy Horse were leaders of the Lakota Sioux in the late 1800s, a period which saw in the US the decimation of many native groups. Each had a vision of the future. Black Elk saw that his people would be plagued by famine and sickness and war. They would lose heart, and the sacred hoop of his nation would be broken. But he saw a vision of his own nation being reunited after seven generations and becoming part of the greater hoop of all the nations of the earth. He saw the daybreak star rising in the east and heard a voice that said, "It shall be a relative to them, and who shall see it shall see much more, for from there comes wisdom, and those who do not see it shall be dark." Black Elk thought this meant that a great prophet from the east would bring a message to his people. Crazy Horse's vision foretold the darkness that descended on his people. He saw the coming of automobiles and airplanes and the tragic world wars of the modern era. He saw his people gradually awakening after the last war and beginning to dance again under the sacred tree. Then, amazingly, he saw that dancing along with his people were representatives of all races who had become brothers. Thus, he foresaw that the world would be made whole again, not just by his own nation, but by all peoples working together. Among the Lakota, the Crow, the Chippewa, and other Native American tribes, the white buffalo is one of the most sacred symbols. It represents purity, sacrifice, and a sign that prophecy is being fulfilled. The Messiah, honored by the Lakota Sioux, is the white buffalo calf woman who brought the sacred pipe and established the foundation of their ritual and social life. When she left, she turned into a white buffalo and promised someday to return. In 1994, a white buffalo calf was born in Wisconsin. In 1996, another was born in South Dakota. For the native peoples, these births have been a sign to mend the hoop of the nations, to establish brotherhood within the family of man, and return to a spiritual way of life. Jake Swamp of the Mohawk Nation tells of the peacemaker, Degana Wida, who unified the tribes of the Iroquois Confederacy. The peacemaker foresaw the turmoil and destruction that would destroy the lives and culture of the Confederacy tribes. But he also saw a time beyond when there would come a great prophet who would be a world uniter. He would come in the same spirit as other prophets before him, but would renew the spirit of man in a way more worldwide and all-embracing than ever before in history. In 1969, the elders of Dianyawahu's Talagi group decided to release teachings that had been kept in secret since the conquest. Through books, lectures, and workshops, Dianyawahu is disseminating that knowledge. She claims that her own Yawahu lineage was founded by a legendary prophet called the Pale One, who rekindled the sacred fires throughout the Americas. She says, "The Pale One is a cyclically incarnating being. He comes when the people have forgotten their sacred ways, bringing reminders of the law, recalling all to right relationship. He is expected soon again, and he may be alive even now. It is good." Among the Australian Aboriginals, it is believed that each tribe has a responsibility to take care of one part of the environment. They believe that underground minerals are a vital part of the Earth's energy grid and are greatly concerned about the excessive mining in modern times, particularly of uranium. In 1975, the elders met in Canberra, drawing together over 350 Aboriginal people. They gave a warning of cataclysms to come and told the people to go out and teach their knowledge to the world, to prepare it for a future time when we would go back to our beginnings, when all cultures will exist as one. The Waitaha Nation claims the most ancient lineage in New Zealand. When the nation was broken up by warriors from the Pacific, the elders concealed 1,000 years of their generational history and wisdom teachings, passing the knowledge on through only a tiny number of people in each generation. In 1990, the elders saw in the heavens a configuration that was a sign for them to release their sacred knowledge. A book titled The Song of Waitaha by Barry Brailsford contains these teachings. In their language, wai means water and taha means gourd, implying the idea of a water carrier, the sign of Aquarius, which is the age that we are currently entering. The Kogi are a pre-Columbian tribe who live in isolated existence in the Sierra Nevada del Santa Marta in Colombia. They are one of the few who escaped the destruction of the Europeans and still live their lives in accordance with their ancient spiritual heritage. Alarmed by the excessive mining and deforestation of modern times, in 1990, for the one and only time, they allowed a BBC television film crew to visit them and document their lives. Calling themselves the Elder Brothers, they wished to issue an urgent warning to the younger brothers. High in their mountain lands, they see that the earth is drying up. The sources of water that should give sustenance to the plains below are no longer vital. They warn us that the earth is dying, and when the earth dies, we will all die. Wilaru Huata grew up in the jungles of Peru, studying with the shamans. He says that his native Quechua Incan prophecies predicted the white man's coming would bring 500 years of materialism and imbalance. But now they say that era is coming to an end, and the age of Aquarius will signal the return of light to the planet and the dawn of a golden era. We live in a time of the fulfillment of prophecy. Now he tours the world, teaching his simple message. Humanity should cure itself and give help to the poor. Regenerate yourself with light and then help those who have poverty of the soul. Return to the inner spirit, which we have abandoned while looking elsewhere for happiness. The Quero are another Peruvian group that are releasing prophecy, travelling to the industrialised nations to hold ceremonies and share their vision of the future. Hunbatsmen tells of an ancient confederation of Native American elders made up of representatives from Nicaragua to the Arctic Circle. They have been meeting for thousands of years and continue to do so today. Before the Spaniards came, the Confederation decided to hide the Mayan teachings, entrusting certain families with their care. Hunbatsmen is an inheritor of that lineage. In his book titled Secrets of Mayan Science and Religion, he reveals teachings that mirror the Hindu and Buddhist ones of astrology, meditation, and the septenary root of creation. He speaks of Quetzalcoatl and Kukulkan, not so much in light of an expected return, but rather in terms of the possibility that each of us can attain the same exalted stage by treading the path of attaining knowledge. And here's a quote. To be Quetzalcoatl or Kukulkan is to know the seven forces that govern our body, not only know them, but also use them and understand their intimate relationship with natural and cosmic laws. We must comprehend the long and short cycles and the solar laws that sustain our lives. We must know how to die and how to be born. Don Alexandro Oxlage is a seventh generation priest from Guatemala and head of the Klishmaya Elder Council. He has travelled throughout North America, comparing the native prophecies of different tribes. In the coming year, and noting this article was written in 1997, he hopes to record and publish for the first time in 500 years the Mayan prophecies of his people. What is enlightening in all of these statements is their consistent tone of reconciliation. The native tribes and groups are opening their doors to people of every colour, speaking of themselves as rainbow warriors. Their elders have reminded them to remember the original instructions when each tribe was given by the Creator a mandate to follow. That mandate has told them that now is the time to heal the past despite these centuries of pain and persecution. Now is the time to join together and work in harmony to rehabilitate the planet and establish an era of alignment and peace. So that was the article by Betty Stockbauer, who's a Shearing National Group member, written, as we say, way back in 1997, but seeming quite relevant still today. I'd like to finish today with an excerpt from an article by Benjamin Krem's master, originally published in the December 2002 issue of the magazine, entitled The Destined Path. Man's long struggle to build the structures which will serve his rightful purposes is almost over. The required forms are already dimly sensed and soon will break upon his understanding as revelation. From that moment alone, his progress will astonish all but the watching brothers. We have long worked towards this end and wait patiently for its enactment. We know that men's hearts are ready to give form to their loftiest aspirations, to enter willingly into a future as yet unknown, to rectify the mistakes of the past, and to begin again on the long ladder of ascent. We know this to be so, and have confidence in man's capacity to change when needs he must. This is such a time. Conditions on earth are deteriorating rapidly. The divisions which have dogged men for centuries raise, as ever, their perennial problems. The planet groans under the impact of man's wanton destruction. Men await a sign, an assurance of leadership and guidance, and an opportunity to hope. The signs for men are everywhere to be seen. The guidance is assured. The reasons for hope are long and constantly offered. That men heed them not results from fear. Blind men are because they are afraid to see. And I have to miss out the very last paragraph. Never mind. Thank you very much for listening in. If you'd like more information, you can check out the website share-international.org. And if you'd like to contact us, the email is sharenz@yahoo.com. Wishing you a lovely week.